Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan, and today I'm going to be talking about Papers, Please. A description for this game is, congratulations, the October Labor Lottery is complete. Your name was pulled. For immediate placement, report to the Ministry of Administration at the Greston Border Checkpoint. An apartment will be provided for you and your family in East Greston. Expect a Class 8 dwelling. So, a little bit of background on the game is it was developed by Lucas Pope. I think his company might be called like 3909, something like that. But on Steam, it said Lucas Pope, so that's what I went with. And he is mostly known for Papers, Please. That was his first game. The second one he made is called The Return of Obra Dinn. Which looks pretty cool as well, and is now on my wish list after playing this. And just as kind of a fun background fact about him, is he actually used to work at Naughty Dog. He worked with them until after the release of Uncharted 2, and then he quit. He wanted to make kind of smaller games and get into like the indie field more. So kind of cool. Like, I think he's pretty good at what he does, based on this game and, I don't know, just knowing those kinds of things. So, kind of cool. So, I guess as sort of a recap or an idea of what the gameplay looks like for this game, is each day you approve or deny entrance to people to Arstotzka. I don't know how to say it. Arstotzka. Starzka, I guess, is what I'm gonna say. It's probably wrong, but that's what we'll go with. And so that's legit the game, is you're at a border checkpoint, people come through, and you approve or deny them. And what happens is each day, new rules are added. So on day one, it was only admit citizens of Arstotzka. And so you'd let them in, you would deny everyone else. The next day it was, okay, you can let some people in, but they need like an entry card along with their own passport or, you know, that sort of thing. And so each day there's kind of new rules that get developed as things go on. Keep throwing new things with you. And this is truly mind-numbing work. The whole premise, or the whole gameplay that you do, is you're looking for discrepancies in paperwork. So you're like, okay, do their names match up? Is their ID code right? Do they weigh the same amount that it says on their passport? Is the names right? Yeah, all of that stuff. It's totally mind-numbing. That's most certainly what it is. And it makes sense. Doing this job would be mind-numbing, and I think just as a personal note, like, for work at previous jobs, I've done data entry, so, you know, that's pretty mind-numbing, and I figured, oh, I'm going to be fine with this. But after a while, it even got to me, so that was kind of funny, noteworthy to experience. But yes, mind-numbing work, looking for discrepancies. Also, each day, your credits are added up. So you get, I think, 5 credits per person that you allow in or deny, I think, for who makes it into your thing. And you get penalties for errors, and then you get a cost of living minus. So each day, you earn credits, you spend them, you could lose them, but depending on your work. So if you get it wrong, so if you allow someone to enter who you shouldn't, you'll lose credits, or if you deny someone who you should have let in, you'll lose credits, you'll get that 5 credit penalty. And if you mess up a lot, your penalties actually escalate. So I think it's like warning with none, 5, 10, 15, 20. Like, it escalates pretty fast, and you know, you could basically lose money on your workday if you just messed them all up. And you also have with your family there, so you have to pay for food, for heating for your home. If someone gets sick, you have to pay for medicine. Your expenses can really add up, for sure. And all in all, the game itself can last 31 days, so it can last 1 month worth of time, roughly, of doing this. Your game can end in a variety of ways before that, but it can last up to 31 days. So that's just what the game itself looks like. So now I wanted to get into my experience, what it was like for me to play this. So first, I started off trying to do my job well. As I mentioned, I did data entry for past jobs, at jobs in the past, and I kind of was like, well, whatever, I did that then, it will be fine doing it here. But it was definitely mind-numbing, a little painful at times, and all your errors get caught, so that was hard. You always would get caught, that sort of thing. Also, just kind of seeing the tightness of the money, like you felt the strain, so that was definitely challenging. So after time went, I got kind of bored with trying to match it and still like failing more than I would want to. So I was like, I'm gonna try something else. So then what I did was for 2 days, I just let everyone in. I didn't even look at their passports. I got to the point where I was just stamping approve to kind of see what would happen. Of course, I was getting docked along the way, but I was letting more people in. So I was like, well, we'll see how this works. And I just kind of wanted to see what would happen. This happens to line up with when someone will give me $1,000 bribe, and you can either choose to burn the money at this point or keep it. I chose to keep it, and it felt like that was an affirmation of just letting everyone in. I was like, well, I'm gonna keep letting everyone in then, because you know, if more bribes show up like this, even if I get docked a bunch of money, I'm gonna still come out doing all right. So I did that. Then maybe a day or two after that $1,000 bribe, I decided I'm gonna try to not work and see if the time will just run out. So I called one person into the office, and Dan actually left and went and did something for 10 minutes in hopes that I would come back and the workday would be over and stuff like that. Unfortunately, that didn't work. the game wouldn't let me play it that way. I was like, well, what if I just slack off and don't do anything? I won't get, you know, penalties, but I won't, you know, make money. That was kind of my hope. It didn't work, though. Instead, I had to just play it out. So then I, again, just let everyone in once I realized that that plan didn't work. Then, I think later that day, that was at the end of day 15, and I got thrown in jail for running out of money, and that's how my game ended. So I got thrown in jail because some of my neighbors were like, oh, I heard he was given $1,000. Like, look into this. So then they froze my bank account, and then because I let everyone in, I ended up losing more money than making that day. And so I had a net zero, or a negative bank account because of that, and so they threw me in jail. And my game was over, so it did not go well for me. All in all. So one unique thing about this game is that there's actually 20 different endings, which is pretty crazy. That they can end in a variety of ways, depending on how you do. And I'm not going to go through all 20. I think that that would be kind of a lot. I think they would probably be better to experience all in all. But I will share some highlights of the endings that I did read that I thought were cool. One is that on day 23, you get given a sniper rifle at your post, which is cool. You know, in the whole time I played, I never got that far. It was just stamping things. That was all there was. There was a point where you could have people detained, but I didn't. I did that maybe once, and it was like when they were showing you the mechanic, I think. So, but with the sniper rifle, this allows the game to end in a couple ways. There's a lot of endings that relate to like shooting someone that you're not supposed to shoot. I think that the people that you are supposed to shoot are when, like, terrorists try to attack, which I think, again, is a bit later in the game. But you could just shoot, you know, someone who's trying to come through, and you could, you know, get thrown in jail and end the game that way for doing that. Another thing that happens is there's a group called the EZIK, and they're like a terrorist organization of some sort, and they want to overthrow the government. Where I'd played, I met a couple of them. That was, I think, who gave me the $1,000. There were also people who'd, like, show up at the walls and be like, hey, we're going to need you to let this person through. Or, you know, hold on to this item, or, you know, that sort of stuff. So I had a couple interactions with them before, but ultimately they try to overthrow the government. And you have a couple endings that can revolve around whether you worked with them or not. They'll, like, give you tasks along the way, and like letting someone in or not letting someone in, or that sort of stuff. And so there's a couple endings that can have to do with that. Was I a helper of them, or was I a hinderer of them? Another ending that has a couple branching paths in it is there are attackers who show up on the last day, on day 31. And so there's a variety of ways this can go. If you could shoot them and kill them. You could let them through. If you've been helping the EZIC, then they will, you know, kill the soldier outside, but they won't bomb your building. But if you haven't been helping them, they would bomb your building. So there's a variety of kind of ways it can go from there. There's also one where you can escape to Oberstan, which is a nearby country, and there's a guy who will give you a passport there, to there, and you can also potentially bring your family with you in this time. You would just need to confiscate other people's Oberstan passports as well. So it's kind of cool that there's a lot of ways this could go. I think I probably got one of the more basic generic endings because my game ended a lot earlier. I guess your day, though, you could run out of money as early as, like, day 4. So I made it to day 15. I feel all right about that, especially once I started being a little wild to kind of see what would happen. but I thought it was cool. I thought that was cool. So that's sort of the how the game is played and what my experience was with it. From here, I wanted to just move to some general thoughts on the game itself. First thing I thought of is that it's pretty interesting to play a working sim where the work isn't fun. You know, looking at these matching documents thing and feeling the pressure of, like, having to be fast sucked. It was like unenjoyable for sure. Just like how the work itself would be. Which is pretty different when you compare it to, like, Animal Crossing or Game Dev Story. In both of those games, doing your work is fun. It's enjoyable. You know, in Animal Crossing, you're like, oh, cool, I'm gonna, like, get these fruit, I'm gonna harvest these things, I'm gonna plant these flowers, I'm gonna sell stuff, you know, like, you get into it. And same thing for Game Dev Story. It was, okay, what do I need to do to be able to, you know, craft the best game kind of thing. And so it was pretty interesting seeing work in such a opposite light for a game, which again, I think is on purpose. This isn't a criticism of the game. I think that's exactly what the game was supposed to do, is that the work itself is mind-numbing kind of thing. So it's kind of interesting. I've never played a game that has made the mechanic of working unenjoyable, but they did. Lucas Pope did. So I thought that was kind of cool as a thing, and just interesting in comparison. Another thing about the game that I thought was pretty good is I like the setting. It had the, like, you know, 1984 Cold War kind of vibe as your place to work, which I think, again, is pretty interesting in terms of, like, your working sim type game, right? Animal Crossing, you're on this new desert paradise and you're getting to, you know, make your own island yours. Pretty appealing. Sounds awesome. Like, yeah, this is the paradise you want or need. Game Dev Story. I'm making the best game studio ever, and we're releasing the best games. Again, appealing. Even The Sims, right? You know, you're building your family or your city or any of those kinds of things, right? It's all like a positive forward type deal. This, though, instead, it's you work in this totalitarian government that you've kind of been drafted into working for, and you have to deal with that. And that you don't really have a choice, right? It's, hey, congratulations, you get, you know, one of the worst jobs we have, but it's better than not having one, and if you do bad at it, then we'll punish you. It's kind of crazy as just a setting, and is interesting, and makes it definitely cool as different characters come through, and we'll say, you know, like, offer you bribes, or involvement potentially with the ECIZ, I see, different things like that. So it's pretty cool just getting this different angle, right? Is that you're in this structure, but then it's, okay, how can I cooperate or undermine the government? And that's sort of your aim. So I thought that was pretty cool as a kind of setting, way to do it, stuff like that. I thought that was kind of cool. The last thing for general thoughts that I wanted to share was there's a short film on YouTube that is pretty good. It's about 10 minutes long, and shout out to Sito on Twitter who sent it to me. I'll retweet what they sent so that you can watch it too. But I watched this. I didn't realize that there was a short film until they told me. So I watched it, and I thought it was pretty good. I thought it captured a lot of what the game is. It felt a lot like the game, and even, like, the different themes. It's, you know, like, its ending was different than mine. And I think a short film is exactly right for this game. I think for me, I died, or whatever, died 15 days in. So I think it was around 2 hours that I played. I think the game, all in all, maybe takes 4 hours. And I think that a film that was either of those, like a full 4 hour, you know, 4 hour thing, or even a 2 hour thing, might be too long as a film, but that 10 minute short film was like perfect, spot on. I liked what it had. It felt like it gave me a lot of what was in this. So if you liked this game, highly recommend checking out the short film. And I think I'd also recommend playing the game before watching the short film. I like the short film, but I think that the game should come first. So, but yeah, good stuff for sure. And yeah, thanks again, Sito, for sending that to me. So last up, we'll move to a couple pieces of listener feedback from people. First up, we've got Kyle on Twitter who says, a deceptively nuanced view on a highly political subject tricks you with simple mechanics before challenging you mechanically and ethically more than you realized. Yeah, I think this is great. Great points by Kyle. And that is something pretty interesting, is that you do get ethically challenged. I remember there's a part where a husband comes through first, and he's nice, his papers check out, everything's good. You send him on through, and he says, my wife's coming up next. Please go easy on her. She's had a rough go of it. Blah, blah, blah. She comes up next, and she says, oh, yeah, my husband, he's such a warrior, but he's great. Here are my papers, and you notice a discrepancy on it, and so you can choose to do the right thing and let them through, let her through anyway, or deny her and keep her outside of your country. I think that when that happened for me, that was when I was trying to just do my job and follow the rules, so I think I denied her, which I feel kind of bad about now. I think that I started off the game, I think, just being like, I'm just going to do my job. So that was sort of the route I went. But I kind of wish I would have experimented or thought about things earlier on. And maybe that's what I need to do is, in a second playthrough, you know, go full, like, covert agent kind of thing, or try something out like that. So, yeah, pretty interesting. Also, it definitely gets harder as it goes on. Each day there's new rules. Sometimes the rules overrule previous rules. It's kind of a lot to keep in. So definitely well done there. Next up, we've got Angel on Twitter who says, honestly, really fun, great story. Just a little complicated at times to keep everyone in check. Definitely. It felt like keeping a bunch of plates spinning, kind of, with the new rules each day. And so you're like, okay, you allow these people if they have these two kinds of ID, but if they don't have them, then don't. You know, you might need to press them for additional paperwork if they didn't provide it right away. All of those kinds of things. It's definitely interesting. Next up, we've got Larry on Twitter, says, it was fun, but I only played it a little bit. I should re-download it and play it more. Totally. Totally agree with that. I think worth playing more for sure. I definitely enjoyed it, and I think that it, I think it provides an important piece in gaming and is good that it's here, kind of thing. Like, I think it's pretty good. Pretty cool place that it occupies. And last up, we've got Cito on Twitter who says, I loved it. It's a good little puzzle / time management game. Do you be cold and unfeeling to the plight of others and just do your job? Or do you try to do the moral thing and the right thing, even though you and your family might suffer? The Vita version is actually hard to get the hang of because of the controls. I had to stop since I kept failing. The PC version is the way to go with this game. So, on that back part, I didn't play on Vita. I also played on PC, and I would say PC is probably the way to go. Experientially, for me, it was good, but hearing that as well. So, yeah, if you're thinking about getting this, I would, keep those words in mind. Also, I think that the question asked here is really great. Do you be cold and unfeeling and just do your job? Or do you do the moral and right thing, even though you may suffer consequences? I think that's an excellent question. And you're right. The game really pushes that here. What's the right move here? A lot of the people that are coming through trying to get into your country are suffering because where they've been is even worse, which is pretty crazy. Like, you have a job and you're in a horrible situation and you're interacting with people who are doing even worse than you. And there is that tension for sure of, if I'm not doing my job well enough or fast enough, we're not going to have any money and my family's not going to do well. So I mentioned before people can get sick. And so you've got, your family is, I think your wife, son, mother-in-law, and uncle, something like that. It's like a hodgepodge of family. And when that happened for me, my uncle got sick, and so did my son and wife. And so what I did was I just kept not giving the uncle medicine because I was like, just let him die. Like, just let him die so I can save some money, kind of thing, which is bad. In real life, obviously, that's not a good choice. But I was feeling that tension because I was like, we need to save money. I tried to like not have heat for a few days and then everyone got sick, kind of thing. So it's like, it is a real dilemma. And, a real person in this situation, they've got a real hard spot here, hard spot to be in. And I thought that this was conveyed super well, really, really well. And found it challenging, for sure. So excellent call out there. And really, that's all I've got on Papers, Please. If you've got more thoughts on this, I'd love to hear them. You can get in contact with us on Twitter at StoryEverPod. Our website is thegreateststoryeverplayed.com. And there's the full backlog of all our episodes. So if you want to check out other stuff, feel free. If you'd like to support the podcast, you could do that a couple ways. One way is to review us on Podchaser or Apple Podcast, and this is really helpful just because it increases visibility for the show, and that hopefully will bring more people together who enjoy the same games as us. I think that's one of the coolest parts about this, is having this community to enjoy stuff with together. I really, really like that. So if you'd like to do that, we'd super appreciate it. And then also, if you'd like to financially support the podcast, you can do that at patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. For as little as $1 per month, you can become a patron. And what that does is gives you access to episodes that are topical in nature. So we talked about like our favorite board games, our favorite Pokemon, stuff like that, which has been a lot of fun. So if you'd like to do that, we'd super appreciate that as well. It goes to pay for like hosting and buying video games and stuff like that. So, you know, it really helps the show, help cut cost, I guess, for the show. So, yeah, that's, I guess, all there is. And, yeah, thanks so much for your time, and see you next time.